Hi, and welcome to Big Oof Coming Your Way, where we must be out of mind because we found some gems for you today.
Go to Punjil.
Thank you. Thank you, my co-host, Shania. And I
no
am
problem. Brandon.
And today we're going to be talking about underrated video games. And,
hell yeah.
Yeah. So this was your topic, Shania. Do you want to kind of lead in and say like what you feel like underrated is by our definition?
Yeah, so we kind of decided that underrated would be, it'd be any game that didn't receive like a ton of popular recognition. So there are some games that we mentioned that have won awards, but it's still not the kind of game that you would hear the average person talking about.
Yeah, like it could have won something. I know for a fact like one like indie awards for like storytelling and music, but it never had that fan base and it never got off the ground. And so basically this is kind of our way of either reminiscing of games that we feel like have met this fate at one time or another.
Mm-hmm.
So in their modern day, they never got like that sequel or that franchise revival that other titles have.
Mm-hmm.
Or their games currently that have been like released in the past like 3 years or so, like more recent releases that feel like they could get that treatment if they don't get a fan base. So this is kind of our part of helping promote those games.
But first, it's been a while since we last recorded an episode. So, what have you been up to?
What have I been up to? I started playing some more Halo. I made some friends. I do a tabletop game.
Called?
It's called Blades in the Dark. It's really fun. You play as a crew in Steampunkville, and you do heists.
Love me some Steam.
Yeah, exactly. So that's essentially the basis. And I play what's called a cutter, which is the tank. And I am the
only... When are you not a tank?
Well, I'll stop being a tank when in real life I'm not a tank. How about that? When I,
you know,
when I can stop bench pressing 700,000 pounds in real life. A true canonical fact.
I thought you were going to say a real life number. And then I was about to be like, well, damn, like... Flex, but
I did
in real
say
life.
A real life number. Thank you. Okay. 700,000 pounds is how much I, Brandon / Brawl Might, can bench on a day of the week at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for that.
No problem.
So yeah, so much like my real self, I am in the game 7'1". And 300 pounds and can bench 700,000 pounds. That's exactly true canonical facts.
Pack it up the mountain.
Yeah.
Pack it up.
Get out. There's a new sheriff in town and he's yoked. So, yeah, I've been having fun with that. And we still talk from time to time. And by that, I mean quite often. And I very much enjoy that. And we've been, you know, talking about stuff. And I don't know, I've been talking to a lot of people, like reconnecting with people. You should do that if you feel a little lonely, because I realize like if you're just brave and send that message of, hey, I haven't talked to you in like a year, if you're really nice, people will remember you and you can have nice conversations with them. And so
I've never socialized with a single person in my life, so I don't know what you mean, but
you've never socialized with a single person in your life?
No.
See, that I don't believe. I can believe I can bench press, yet again, for those who are hard of hearing, 700,000 pounds. That is true. But it's not true that you, Shania, have not socialized with a person.
No, I'm unable to be perceived. So.
I see you right now.
No.
No, not true.
You don't.
Lies. Slander.
So.
Okay, that's fair. So what have you been doing?
120 hours in, I am almost done with Persona 5 Royal. Mm-hmm. I have gotten my feelings hurt by numerous characters multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been cool. Let's see. What else have I been doing? I've been reading a little bit. It is October now, so I'm like fucking ready to get into spooky season.
Spooky, meaning, scary skeletons.
Yes, meaning I read so many scary books that I am mentally fucked up for about 3 weeks.
And then you call me through those 3 weeks saying how this has like damaged you for a time.
Precisely.
It goes the same way every time. You go, it's been really depressing. I read about this cannibal family. I'll go, okay, yeah, so you need to like do some happy things. Like if you do something that you know is disturbing you, do two things that make you happy to offset it. And I tell you,
I would recommend that. Yeah.
Yeah, you would recommend it. But every time I suggest it to you, you go, no. And you go, I just want to read one more spooky thing. And then it's November 15th. And then you keep saying that. This extends until December when you finally get the happy feel.
And the psychological damage is irrevocable. So
yeah, if I ask you right now, what's the worst book you've ever read? What's the spook book?
LOL.
LOL. By who?
No, the way. you know, that was actually a movie.
LOL?
Yeah. It had Miley Cyrus in it, and this guy, I forgot what the fuck his name was, but he was like all over Tumblr in like 2012. Everyone was obsessed with him.
Left
on. Wasn't a very good movie.
Last.
But anyway.
Left on Last Read, 12:59 p.m. That was the title, right?
The scariest book I ever read was actually probably, it's a tie between Gerald's Game and Turn of the Screw. And Gerald's Game, it's because there's one specific scene where she realizes, like the protagonist realizes, there's someone in the room with her. And I myself was a woman alone in my house, and reading that scared the shit out of me.
I remember.
And that. Then, yeah, because it caught. I called you right afterwards.
I think the thing that I told you is, yeah, that is scary. And now in hindsight, I'm like, yeah, that doesn't help at all.
Yeah, you were just like, that's crazy.
Damn, that's wild. What's she doing, though?
LOL, are you a virgin?
20 questions. Go, are you a virgin?
What's your favorite and then,
color?
Are you a virgin? What's your favorite color? 17. Are you a virgin? But, and then it's tied with Turn of the Screw, where again, there's another scene where they see the ghost for the first time, and they describe all of the air being like sucked out of a room. And it just being like completely silent, like you're in a vacuum. And I never forgot that.
Joke's on them. I have tinnitus.
Oh, right, you do.
Joke's on you, idiot.
You're like, I've never experienced silence in my life.
Mm-hmm. The world is always loud.
Yeah.
The sound of silence.
So yeah, those are the two scariest books I've ever read. Not the two most fucked up books I've ever read, but the two scariest, and I would recommend both of them.
Do you think that we could turn Turning of the Screw into a light comedy about teaching the screw to love, and name it Taming of the Screw? You think that's possible?
Do you feel good about that?
Yeah, actually. I actually feel much like the games we were talking about, as I have found my segue, that joke has been heavily underrated by my co-host as a great, great joke that I spent about 2.5 seconds on.
I am calling the pun police.
Thank you. They will award me. So, this was, again, your idea. Why don't you lead off with the first game you wanted to talk about, Shania?
Okay, so the first game I want to talk about is this really old game. Well, not super old. It was on Ancient. PlayStation 2.
Ancient. Before any of us were born.
Oh, yes. I was but a wee lad, you know. Mm-hmm. It was called Dark Cloud. And I remember going to, I'll tell you how old it was. I was with my mom at Sears. Sears.
Did Sears sell video games?
Yeah, Sears sold video games.
This is old.
Yeah, yeah. I'm basically decrepit.
The PS2 wasn't even invented in the 90s, and yet you've painted the picture of the 90s.
I am essentially decrepit. But so I saw it in a Sears with my mom, and I begged her to get it. And because I just thought the cover looked really cool. So I didn't know anything about it. But it's essentially about this boy. His name is Tone, T-O-A-N. Coolest name ever. Mm-hmm. But there's this kind of dictator and this evil genie that destroys his town in this kind of ceremony. And they essentially take the citizens of the town and the buildings into these orbs. And so you are gifted the sword and this gauntlet that you can use to kind of take everyone back out. And then you have to dungeon crawl and discover all of the orbs. So it's like part RPG dungeon crawler, but it's also kind of like a city builder / city manager, because once you get all of the people and the components of the town, then you have to place them. And so you slowly kind of grab more, you slowly recover more people and more buildings. And they tell you kind of where they would prefer for their building to be. So they're like, one person's like, oh, I really miss being able to see the sunrise from my window. And so you put her in a certain place and it's pretty nice. And then you kind of go to different locations and you do that with different towns. So it's, and it has a sequel. It's called Dark Chronicle. But I think that one is a little bit more popular, but I really feel like people need to appreciate the OG Dark Cloud. And the companions that you meet, pretty awesome. Boss fights, pretty cool. Also, that game is the first time I fucking discovered what a mimic was. Worst moment of my childhood life. I'm like walking up to the treasure chest. I'm like, oh, it's a treasure chest. And then scare the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And another decrepit ancient fact. I bought it. A game that is easily, I think its campaign is maybe like 40, 50 hours long. I fucking bought it before I bought a memory card for my PlayStation.
Dangerous.
So I would have to keep it on. I would have to keep my PlayStation on days at a time. And then my mom would fucking turn off the PlayStation because she said that I was wasting electricity. So I actually played the first like 10 hours of the game like 6 times.
Aww.
Until I literally begged my mom to get a memory card.
Aww.
An 8 megabyte.
We've really gone farther, but truly. It's good, but
yeah,
it's wild what we used to work with and how we made it happen.
Oh yeah, and you could store so much shit on that memory card. I had so many games, so many save files. You're like, oh yeah, 8 is plenty. Like I don't need another. There's like a slot for another memory card. Where it's like, oh, I don't need another. 8 is 8 megabytes. We got it.
We really didn't start needing more memory. Like I feel like we would need more than 8 now for certain save files and stuff. Just because people would be like, I want like 1 gigabyte for just all my saves because of how long the generations can last now. But even then, like I think I had a 24 megabyte PlayStation 2 Slim like type of like memory card. And that was, like, you know, pretty good at its at yeah. its time. But save files have never gotten larger. I really think it's just when we started putting games on the actual consoles themselves. That's when they started getting larger and larger, when that became the standard. Yeah. You just make a, much like a computer, you make a full installation on the
yeah.
console. That's
where. Didn't really you say GTA and GTA Online, like GTA 5, it's over like 200 gigs?
It's large. It's so large yeah. that I could say, yeah, I want to experiment and uninstall it and then reinstall it just to tell you its file size. But I won't because I'm scared. But also yeah. because I'm in the middle of a podcast. So I don't want to, like... So, yeah. But, I mean, that's really cool. It's really cool to think of little Shania and the times she, like, had to struggle just to play her favorite game.
It was really hard out here. Like, you have no idea.
Mm-hmm. There was no cloud. There's
there was it. No cloud.
Yeah. You just had what you had.
My fate.
If it breaks, it's gone.
Oh, yeah. No, like, you're fucked.
Yeah.
You're fucked.
That being said, I never heard of Dark Cloud until a couple years ago when you mentioned it. Mm-hmm. So, like, just not even like, oh, I heard it in passing. Never heard of it. No report on it. No criticism. Never saw it in, like, a store. Nothing. Which is sad because it seems like the exact kind of game that I love.
Yeah, I mean, it really was. I feel like everyone slept on it. Like, I genuinely don't know anyone else who's played it. And I actually bought Dark Chronicle maybe like a year ago. I bought the remastered version. And I played some of it, and it was good. It just didn't have some of the same charm. And I think also nostalgia. There's a lot of recent innovations in games that I really can't do without, like mm-hmm. camera control.
Yeah.
Can't fucking play a game with that without that shit now. So
you'd say, like, what you really want from the Dark Cloud series now is maybe a revival.
Yeah, that'd be lit.
Like, either a remaster or possibly just a successor in some way.
Yeah. It was such a cute little game.
That's really fair. I mean, you heard it. Game company that currently owns Dark Cloud. I don't know who owns the license because there's been a lot of licensing trades between what I would imagine Dark Chronicle and now. Whoever mm-hmm. owns it, Shania said make it. So
yeah,
I'll bench press your building if you don't get over there.
Yeah, because it lifts 700,000 pounds.
700,000 pounds. Wow. Well, I guess I'll go into mine because it's much related to it.
Oh, yeah.
My game is Fusion Frenzy, which I can't really say unless I do it the way the title did it, which was like, Fusion Frenzy! And that game did have a sequel called Fusion Frenzy 2, which wasn't nearly the same like level. In my opinion, I feel like Fusion Frenzy was the better game. Fusion mm-hmm. Frenzy was an early 2000s Xbox original Xbox release, only on Xbox.
Decrepit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And essentially, that game was a direct competitor of the Mario Party style of video games. It was just a party game where you did have like little... tournament, except that's the thing. They didn't care about any of the random bullshit, and mm-hmm. instead you had a tournament system, so you could play single player or in multiplayer, and you would capture zones, quote unquote, by winning the mini game there. And mm-hmm. so if you had the most, you would just straight up win. And so they had just so many video games are mini games in there. I think the most popular one were ones that you would get into the balls, like hamster balls, essentially.
Amazing.
Yeah, and because it's the mid-2000s, you know it's going to look like cyberpunk-esque, and so the balls are like metal cage balls, and And they would be colored to your character. And each character had one corresponding color, so it never changed. I always played Samson.
Samson.
Yeah, it'd be Samson. And he was like...
That sounds like a character that you would play. Was he a tank?
He was a huge, muscular black dude in the early 2000s. So obviously, yes, he had a goatee and tinted goggles.
And you know they all look the same.
Mm-hmm. And so,
yeah.
So, yeah, every 2003's tough guy looked exactly alike.
I'm thinking of that guy from SSX Tricky.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I'm thinking
yeah.
of Wesley Snipes and Blade. Every early 2000s tough dude was Wesley Snipes and Blade.
They all had the goatee.
Mm-hmm. All had the goatee. All had the fresh
kind
cut.
Of eyewear. All,
mm-hmm. Never actually just showed their eyes.
No, no.
Yeah, it was a standard. So yeah, mm-hmm. but you'd roll around. You could bump people. You had like collector games. You had racing games, and it was just a really fun competitor to Mario Party, because Mario Party's main focus is on the stars, which is fine. I like Mario Party. This game basically said screw all that, focus only on the mini games. And there were basically in the first game, I can't remember a single mini game that wasn't fun. And that's something that I think even Mario Party, the king of doing that kind of thing, has always failed at. There's always a couple Mario Party mini games that make you groan and go, I don't like this.
So what were your like three favorite mini games?
Okay. There was one where you had to collect, essentially they were they're not a cube or a diamond. They're like the 20 sided like shape.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so you had to collect those, but you could absolutely punch the shit out of someone to steal. So I would just run around and wham, and then
the
I would
Samson.
Like, yeah, and then you just get a bunch of them, and like steal it. So that's what I'd be by. It was like Mario Party with that 2003's tough edge, because
yeah,
oh, you don't bump people, you absolutely like deck them in the face, and then like as they fall on the ground holding their injury, you steal their things. So there was that. That was always really fun because that came in individual and team. Mm-hmm. The rolling ball one was absolutely one of the most fun things because it was a classic sumo ball situation. The ring would get smaller. You'd have to knock people out. You'd have to be number one for that.
Yeah.
I'd say after that, the memory, I mean, I haven't played this game since probably 2004.
Mm-hmm.
So the memories are a little hazy.
That's valid.
Yeah. But, I remember like the game was really surprisingly tight in its controls. Like even now I can imagine like exactly how tight everything felt. So a lot of the races, especially the water park one, was actually really fun. Cause there was a survival one. There was a survival, water park game where you had to stay on while everything came at you, and if you didn't, you fell over like the city waterfall situation.
So like early Wipeout.
Yeah, basically this game kind of treated itself as a game show that was like early Wipeout. I don't know, it was just really fun. The second one never really got off the ground, and I think it's because they misinterpreted exactly how many people enjoyed the first one and what they enjoyed about it. But I think, especially now, there need to be more games like Mario Party, since Nintendo refuses to do more. And there are a couple out there, but I think Fusion Frenzy making a return would be super fun, because they treated it like a game show for real, with like big announcing and fireworks and like fun contestants. It's stuff like that I think was really fun. So yeah, that's my...
Okay.
First game of choice.
Nice.
Thank you.
Okay. So my next game is one that you are actually acquainted with because of me. And it is Thrillville and its successor, Thrillville Off the Rails.
Well, Off the Rails, baby!
Yeah, I, this is again on my PlayStation 2, but I feel like everyone our age kind of grew up with Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Yeah, yeah, I played the shit out of Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Yeah, and so, like, Thrillville was kind of like Roller Coaster Tycoon in that it was, like, a theme park manager, and it was kind of combined with Back to the Future because you were friends. They do not explain why, just like in Back to the Future, with this very bizarre and eccentric scientist.
And a teenager, essentially.
Yeah. And so you're kind of fighting against this, like, soulless corporation by building out these theme parks with different themes. And you could choose to be either like a kid or a teenager. And of course, 8 or 9 year old me was like, I don't want to fucking be a kid. I want to be a teenager. And so I played.
I want to be cool.
Yeah, like I want to be a cool teenager. And you could, you know, kind of design how you looked. And
I have acne. Think about how much Chad's muscles.
Yeah, so, and then you could, like, walk around the park as your avatar, and then you would build rides, and you could ride those rides, and you could talk to other guests mm-hmm. and see how they were feeling about the park. And if you were a teenager, you could, you know, be a little player, get your Mac on with mm-hmm. other teenagers. So, of course, I did that. I was hitting on everybody, you know?
At the roller coaster park.
All I ask is if they make a remake, it's if you could be an adult so that I can date someone's dad. That's uh-huh. all I ask.
You want Dream Daddy, but with roller coasters now.
Hell, oh my God. Call a game developer right now.
You mean call Game Grumps the Dream Daddy developers?
Call Game Grumps right now. This is brilliant.
Dream Daddy 2 off the rails.
Yeah, so and then you could ride the roller coasters, and then there were a ton of mini games because there were like a ton of different arcade games that you could set up like in the park. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the few games where I absolutely beat your ass in every mini game. That's because wow. I have like a 10-year advantage.
I don't remember that. I'm sorry. Do you mean me?
I mean you.
I don't remember that.
No?
No.
Wow. Fake.
Yeah, I think... I remember you got lucky once. Like, it was a tight game.
A word? No, a word?
You absolutely did.
Real. Yeah.
That was fun, though, because that game, it did combine one thing that I thought was really, mm-hmm. really cool, was not only, like, the fact that you controlled an avatar and could walk around and be a part of the park you've built, but they also had, like, so many arcade mini-games to play through. Like,
yeah, they had so many good ones.
Yeah, it's actually, like, super, super fun. I should really get back into that game.
Yeah, it's actually, you can get it on Steam.
You can get it on Steam, yeah. It's cheap.
It's stupid cheap. Mm-hmm. It's really fun. And my favorite mini games are the robot shooter one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's really good. And the background, the soundtrack for it is actually really another very underrated thing about the game. It like had so many like early to mid 2000s hits in it. It was so good.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And so the robot shooter was really good. Another thing, you could, when you hired different employees for the park, you could have like a maintenance person, you had a cleaner, and you had a cheerleader. And the mm-hmm. cheerleader mini game was super fun because I'm like a slut for rhythm games.
You are.
And
you really
always have been. Yeah, and it was a really good rhythm game, and it didn't help, or it helped that the soundtrack, absolute banger, and my third favorite minigame was the trampoline one. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yeah. It was so simple, but I took so much joy, so much bizarre joy out of it, but it was great.
Yeah, it just seemed always like a game that, like, it actually, and this is from someone who, like, really loved Roller Coaster Tycoon. Like, I played a lot of Roller Coaster Tycoon as a kid.
I did, and too. Yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, this really tried to be that next generation of Roller Coaster Tycoon, where you could do the things that people kind of slowly wish they could do, ride all the rides and have fun in it. I just don't think it ever had that same idea. Like, maybe we fell out of the Roller Coaster Tycoon after, like, its hype. I don't really know why it didn't get bigger, especially
yeah.
with how it is now, where it's like, oh, like, people still really love stuff. Like, I love Planet Coaster, you know? But even then, Planet Coaster is an amazing game. Absolutely deserves its, like, rating.
Oh, for sure.
For how detailed it could be. But the one thing it's missing is the one thing that Planet Coaster did a decade ago, which is, I want to ride and play in the park I built.
Oh, you meant the one thing that Thrillville did a decade ago.
Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah. The one thing Thrillville did a decade ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's already happened. And so it's another game, like, in today's technology. Oh, man, there's so many options for you.
Like, if we had the kind of technology and graphics that we do now, like, that kind of game would be fucking fantastic. And it was always super surprising to me that it never kind of took off. Like, I really feel like it had the capability, because so many people loved Roller Coaster Tycoon. And it's like, yeah, so this is Roller Coaster Tycoon, but with mini games and a person that you can control in the park.
I could see today's market, it also selling as, like, you can also go to other people's parks, like your friends' parks, and see what they've built.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I could see a VR spinoff where it's like you just do, like, the people's parks and ride their rides. Like, it's not as big yet with VR, but I could definitely see it making a leap to where it's like, yeah, you could put the VR on and you can go into Thrillville 3. Thrillville 3, Rail 'em Harder. They know the
pun. Not Rail 'em Harder.
Rail 'em Harder than ever in Thrillville 3. So
I mean, that'll make sense if I'm trying to date someone's dad. So
yeah, exactly. Have sex in your own park. Walt Disney style. I don't know if Walt Disney ever fucked in his own park. I would if I were Walt Disney. I own the bitch. Close it down. Do what you want.
Shut up.
Oh, I am Disney.
Wow. I was just thinking of just, like, fucking in, like, the back room of It's a Small World, and I think in my head I was like, no, I don't want that.
I don't want that. Well, yeah, you don't go to It's a Small World after all.
Yeah, think bigger.
Think
Space Mountain.
Want more for yourself.
Obviously, I don't love myself enough.
Yeah, if you try to have sex, it's a small world after all. Not only is the whatever partner you have the tiniest penis energy of all time. Bruh, if you told me it's like I went to Space Mountain on Space Mountain, that's way better than It's a Small World after all.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true.
You gotta pick the story. You know,
that's true. You do. You're so right.
Maybe this is why Thrillville 3 never got it. People are too.
That's why.
This is it. We figured it out in the same moment we asked.
Yeah, we canceled it before it even got a chance to get off the ground.
Let's see. I wanted to talk about another game, but in the middle of this, it reminded me of a game. So I'm going to talk about a game that has had multiple series and was very highly rated in its time, for sure. But I feel like it's underrated in its idea now. So I'm not saying this game was always, like, slept on. This game used to be hype.
Okay.
But they've kind of forgotten what it meant to people and how good it was. It was the Outlaw series, like Outlaw Golf, Outlaw Tennis.
Oh, did I play that at your house?
I know my mom played that. I know my mom, if I found a way to get my mom to play Outlaw Golf, she'd play it. But I think you're thinking of, like, are you thinking of the thing on the Xbox?
Oh, thinking about the other. Is Outlaw Golf on the Wii? Am I thinking of...
No, you're thinking of the mini golf game. Shania, Outlaw Golf is a totally different brand of golf where you had stereotyped characters in like 2003. So I'm saying clean that part up a bit more. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like super racist as far as I remember and stuff. It was just like the worst people. Like, remember the 2003 mm-hmm. white rapper epidemic?
LOL.
Yeah, I remember my favorite. Either. My favorite character in all of the Outlaw series is Ice Tray, which sounds
not
like
Ice Tray.
Ice Tray. And he is just a shitty, wannabe, very appropriating white rapper. Amazing. But like, Outlaw Golf, the first one, was voiced by Steve Carell when he was first getting into the internet. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Go look up, like, clips.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he'd be like, Killer Miller. And it's, like, it's literally just Steve Carell. So it's, like, it's a gem in its own right to see, like, the comedy. But you'd play it, and you'd have, like, the good and the bad. And if you did good, you'd start getting a hot streak. Like, you'd get a good bar, and it would allow you to do better in the game. Mm-hmm. If you started doing poorly, it would start going in the red. And if you went all the way to the red, you could basically reduce your stress, your negativity, by beating the absolute shit out of your caddy. And you'd get points for that.
Oh my God.
And whatever you did, you'd lose more. And if I think you did perfect, you got a little bit of happy feeling too. So
what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah. It was a game that was basically exactly how to not play a sport, the game.
Amazing.
And so I think in today's world, it kind of reminds me of like NFL Blitz, which was super popular for a long time. It just sits in this echelon of sport games that are all about not being a sportsman, not being nice, and being like purposefully mean. Yeah, it's about being purposefully an asshole, and the whole game is centered around that.
Yeah.
But it's also like, it does the Always Sunny thing where all these people are bad people and all the jokes are punched at directly them because mm-hmm. of how shitty they are. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just miss that type of game. And I really think Outlaw would be a fun thing to kind of bring back now.
I think so, yeah.
Where, yeah, you just, it takes the piss out of sports in a way without saying the sport's terrible. But some of the egocentric people that think they're all that in sports, it's kind of like if you put all your rec league like superstars who think they obviously could have gone pro if they just had the right coach.
Yeah.
But it's like, no. It's like if you put all of them in one video game and just let them interact with each other all day. That's what I think it has the potential for. But we sleep on that idea now. So yeah. Outlaw Golf is super fun. It was just really good, and they had like Outlaw Tennis and other things, but I think it could be one of those really cool things.
They could definitely do it now too, because there are so many new types of assholes.
Yeah, that's the thing. Time goes on, but assholes merely evolve. They don't actually change.
Precisely.
I'd love to see a fucking
beautifully said
of thank you. I want that put on like a shirt for quotations with like my face looking very serious, you know?
You know how many fucking like tourist traps that t-shirt would be in?
Two. my house and your house when we start commercializing our places in order to make money. But yeah, so that's what I think. I think it's one of those things where no matter what happens, there's always somebody to kind of punch at for being an asshole. I'd love to have like Chadworth Richbury, you know, polo shirt, sunglasses backwards, bleached blonde hair, sunburnt, has a beer. Just, you can
now white claw. Has a white
claw. A LaCroix. Yeah. You could just see people like that, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's my second one.
Okay. My third one is a game that is actually recent, and I honestly, it kind of hurt my feelings that this game isn't more popular because it's gotten a ton of awards. So it's this game called Mutazione. It's on Steam. You should go buy it. But it's essentially like, it's about this girl, and she goes to this island to visit her dying grandfather, and it's full of these mutants, and it's described as kind of like a mutant soap opera, which I think is a really good description, because it's kind of all about, you know, kind of cultivating these personal relationships with the people on the island and learning about what happened with everyone on the island. And it's just really beautiful. And the one of the main mechanisms behind the game is to kind of cultivate these plants. And the plants make these sounds. It's like this music. And it's just so peaceful whenever you do it. And you learn these melodies from people on the island that help the plants grow. And just kind of everything you uncover on the island. It really is just like a, the real journey is the friends we made along the way kind of game.
Yeah.
And it's so cute. And everyone's personalities are really different, really vibrant. And the character, the main character, she is a character of color and she's queer. So when I saw that, I was just, it was just kind of one of those moments where I looked at it and I saw her and I was like, I have to buy this game. I have to buy this game and I have to play it right now. And I did. And I blew through it over the course of like a week because the campaign is maybe like 10 to 12 hours. But it's really beautiful. It means a lot to me. Its review is overwhelmingly positive on Steam.
But
it just doesn't, it still doesn't really have that many reviews or attention. And I would highly recommend it.
So the one thing is, it's gone down from overwhelmingly positive to very positive.
That's okay.
I'm going to jump back to that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to read this out. And this is where I wanted to come from this.
Okay.
Because this is what I want you to guess. This is going to take a second.
Okay.
It was nominated for Excellence in Visual Art at the Independent Games Festival of 2020, Excellence in Narrative at the same festival, Best Storytelling in Pocket Gamer Awards 2020, People's Choice Pocket Gamer Awards 2020, the Seamus McNally Grand Prize at the Independence Game Festival of 2020, nominated Game of the Year at the Spielprisen 2020, nominated Game of the Year at the Pocket Gamer Awards 2020, and then it won Best Audio at the Nordic Game Awards, Best Narrative at the Spielprisen, and Excellence in Audio at the Independence Game Festival, all in 2020. Mm-hmm. This game came out September 19th, 2019. How many people do you think have reviewed this game?
I don't know.
Just take a guess. Any number.
100.
A little more.
300.
A little less. It's 231 total reviews after over a year out and nominations and awards at many, many, many indie like studios that get picked up for noticing. This game has not gone anywhere near its like number in terms of sale that I think most games in its competition have. It's ridiculous.
It's so upsetting. It's so upsetting. And I feel like Night in the Woods, also a very fantastic game that I would highly recommend. People who played Night in the Woods would probably love Mutazione, but it hasn't gotten nearly the same amount of like popular recognition.
Yeah, exactly. I want to throw out there, it's had 10 user reviews in the last 30 days, by the way. 10.
Yeah.
80% of them, and this is why I don't like the 80% thing,
mm-hmm.
80% of 10 said it was positive. So that's two people said it was a negative review. Out of 231, it's 96% positive. This should be overwhelmingly positive. It just doesn't have the number to back it up. This, remember when this came out in September and it had like 50 reviews and all of them said it was positive and it all it said was positive? It just doesn't have, it didn't have enough.
Yeah. It just makes me so mad because it's so good. It's such a good game. And everything is hand-drawn. It's just so beautiful. And they basically created like this, they basically created a glossary of all of these different plants mm-hmm. and seeds. And they created kind of like their own flora and fauna and everything. It's such like a deep universe.
And
that it's so much, they put so much work into it.
I think the thing that makes me so annoyed too is this is one of those games that I think is perfect for quarantine. Like, this is a perfect kind of quarantine because it's very peaceful. It literally takes you away from the current world we're living in. It's, you know, they're still working on it with, like, they put it on PlayStation 4. It has, like, new languages imported. I really think this should be up there with what we would call like the big boys in like games that came out that year. And it just never did. So I don't think, you know, with our little podcast, I don't think anybody from Die Gute Fabrik or the publisher of Acapora Games, it might listen to this. But if they do, if any one of them does, thank you for Mutazione. It brought a lot of joy, especially to Shania, because like it's an underrepresented demographic, especially in protagonists, and you captured it beautifully.
Yeah. It's,
it really deserved more than it got. And it also shows how I really think Game Awards are the popular vote still. Even when they throw in that one other, It's not about the critics, and I don't think that's a hot take. It's just we sometimes don't see the gems that really, really didn't get noticed. So I want to play this to help promote it in some way. I'll figure out when to stream this because I really think it's worth it. But yeah, if you probably are wondering, like, well, how much is this game? It's $20. This game was never a $60 game.
It's only like 12 hours, but
well, I mean 12 hours for $20. If you want to pay $60, you could get Mutazione, a game called Knights and Bikes, and a game called Heaven's Vault for $45.47 on its bundle.
Yeah.
Take a risk. Seriously, play a game for 12 hours. Enjoy a story.
Play Mutazione. I cannot recommend it enough. It is so calm. It is such a nice game. The soundtrack, it's like therapy. So if you want serotonin with a little bit of drama, play Mutazione.
Yeah. Also, like, you do not need a lot for this. Its minimum requirements are a GeForce 700 and 3 gigs and 4 gigs of RAM. And a 2.6 gigahertz processor and a Windows 7 operating system.
Damn, we really went into the spec.
I'm gonna promote the shit out of this game because it deserves it. Because like the other games that we've talked about were games where like, oh yeah, like they were gems and maybe some. I'll admit it, you know, and I know you would too. I'm just saying it first, so I will include that you agree. Nostalgia can fuel a bit of like maybe we thought it was underrated, but maybe it was more rated than we thought it was. You know, I'm willing to give that type of room for air. This game came out a year ago. We've watched it and monitored its progress since then, hoping that it would be there. Part of the reason this podcast is kind of around is because we always knew we were eventually going to talk about Mutazione.
It's true.
So like, yeah, you bet your ass I'm going to, jokes aside, promote the shit out of this game. Because I feel like it's one of the few times that like it deserved it, and it never really got what it deserved. So yeah, Mutazione, it's the whole reason this topic, it's a good reason this podcast was made, and it's a really, really good game. If you're looking for it, if you're looking for something fun, or if you desperately need a dose of representation in your life as somebody who might get a misrepresented number of representation in video games thanks to everybody looking like Nathan Drake 90% of the time, Mutazione might be your fucking game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
That's all we got.
Go the fuck home, but don't really go. We're not done. But yeah,
you're still out here.
I really, really will stan Mutazione.
Stan Mutazione for Clear Skin.
Yeah, that's it. Yes. Any thoughts about Mutazione, Shania, that you want to leave off on?
No, I mean, I really feel like I let the people know how I feel about it. So
we kind of popped off and said, just play this. Everything else, it's like, it'd be kind of a good idea if this came back. Mutazione was like, it is back. Play it. Do it now.
Right now.
Why are you listening? In the amount of time it took you to listen to this podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could be a 12th of the way through Mutazione. I'm just saying.
Wow.
That's a deal.
True.
You want to do a lightning round, Shania?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool. I'm going to pull up a list. I suggest that you have a list of games open as well.
Okay.
Do you have that?
No.
Can you procure that?
Sure.
Awesome. I was genuinely asking, because otherwise I was like, okay, I'll just have to share my screen with you so you can look around.
Yeah. You should, yeah, okay.
I should share my screen?
Yeah, you should just share your screen.
Hold on.
We're going to cut this out, right?
I don't know. Hey, if you're hearing this right now, we didn't cut it out. How about that?
We didn't.
Random edits, if you didn't like the part where they go look at the Steam library that you can't see, don't at him because he's probably not listening. He's probably asleep. Good job, future Brandon. So yeah, can you see all those?
Yeah.
All right, bruh. I was gonna keep it there for a second and scroll down as it goes, but just lightning round me. We'll hit the way it works. Just so you get a fun little, like, how we think of games, and maybe you can tell us, like, why do we rate it there? It's just a very knee-jerk rating. Do you want to start or me?
You start first.
Okay, I'll do... Shania, what do you think about Battle Block Theater?
Appropriately rated.
Yeah, but what? Give me a number, 1 through 10.
It's like a 7.5.
All right, wonderful. Your turn.
I'm gonna go with
lightning round, not sit around round.
Broforce,
10 out of 10. Perfect game, best game ever. how about Castle Crashers, Shania?
7 out of 10.
You got it.
BioShock Infinite.
I never played it.
The original BioShock.
Original BioShock, 9 out of 10. That shit was that. It would have been like a 7 or an 8, but that's ending. Give it a 9. Shania, what do you think about Disco Elysium? I know you haven't finished it, but just, you know, first half.
9 out of 10.
9 out of 10. All right, your turn.
Dragon's Dogma.
Dragon's Dogma, 8 out of 10. 8. Just there we go. We're in the E's now, Shania. We've made it to the E's.
Okay.
I'm gonna go faster. Shania, what do you think about Elder Scrolls Skyrim?
17 out of 10.
10 out of 10. 17. Perfect answer. Let's keep going. We're in the F's now. We gotta move faster. People are gonna get bored. Fast. I am speed. Ka-choo.
Far Cry,
which one?
Far Cry 4. Far Cry 4.
You know, it was like a 7. GTA 5.
8 out of 10.
8 out of 10. Great. H, you better pick Halo for me. 9 out of 10.
Halo Reach.
It's like a 20 out of 10. It might be the best shooter ever. That's my knee jerk. I. There's not a lot of fucking
we
I's.
Cannot K's, go K's. Every, we cannot go through every single letter of the alphabet.
I refuse. Skipping down to S, Shania. Star Wars Battlefront 2.
You know I haven't played that.
The 2005 version?
Yeah. Oh, no. Yes, I did. Yes, yeah, I did. Yes, I did. Yeah. 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10. Perfect. Oh, wow. We already made it to the W's. That's wild.
The original Watch Dogs.
Oh, bro, like 6. All right, should I? Yakuza 0.
3,000 out of 10.
Perfect. We did it. Nice lightning round. Wait, shit. I want to do one more. Can you just pick one of your games over here?
Okay, A Hat in Time.
A Hat in Time? Like 50,000 out of 10. It's better than Yakuza yeah. 0.
Oh,
because
please
Bo-Girl.
Play Hat in Time. Please.
Oh yeah, play Hat in Time. But that's appropriately rated, so we didn't mention it, but play that game too. Bo Girl.
But it's so good.
I like Bo Girl better than Hattie. She's adorable.
Yeah, it's essentially just this game about a girl who collects hats. It's so cute.
It is really okay, fine. It's about a girl who shares hats.
That's it though. That's it.
It's really cute. It's really fun. Also, Bo Girl's there. And she is
also Bo Girl is there.
Bo Girl is better than Hattie. I will stand by that forever. She's adorable. I love her and I will protect her.
Okay, friends. I am so glad that you dealt with us and our manic energy during this.
What are you talking about? I'm glad we made it through the lightning round. Every letter.
Define every. You know what? It's okay.
We made it from A to technically Z. We just didn't have any Z games.
Okay.
You know what? Z. I got one, Shania. I got a Z game sure. for you.
Okay.
What about the movie Zathura, starring Josh Hutcherson?
I mean, isn't that Space Jurassic Park? I mean,
it's
not
Space Jumanji.
Space Jumanji. I said Space Jurassic Park.
You did. I was going to ignore it.
I have to go home.
Give a number.
Zathura. 6.
There you go. You did it. The whole alphabet. Every letter was included.
Yeah.
We did it.
We all knew it was Space Jumanji.
Space Jumanji.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's going to be our show for the day, night, morning, afternoon, whatever you decided to listen.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Big Oof Podcast.
Yep.
Or follow myself, the Carb Goblin, or Brandon, who's Brawlmite.
Yep.
And send any email suggestions you may have to what's the email?
BigOofComingYourWay@gmail.com.
Hell yeah. So
yeah, and I guess I'll plan out streaming Mutazione to promote Mutazione, the greatest game ever made, a 50 billion out of 10.
Yeah.
And so
all right, well, be gay. Cause chaos, and we'll catch you
vote.
Later. Let's...
And vote.
And please register to vote.
Oh, also, if you're not in the country of the US of A, I guess vote anyway, because, you know.
In your own country, though, we're not suggesting like voter fraud. You know.
Yeah, just do whatever you want. I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just vote anyway. And if for some reason... you know, you can't cause chaos. Well, then you're not trying hard enough. You can find a way. I believe in you. Anything is possible.
Mm-hmm.
Leave.
If you don't sin, then Jesus died for nothing. Goodbye, friends.